WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And you are listening to 90.7 The Capstone. This is the student section. My name is Brady Grogan. I'm joined here with my two co-hosts, Jalen Brooks and Connor Rolls. How are you boys doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How about y'all?
Doing pretty good.
So, as we all know, this Sunday, we got the big game. I know you guys are very excited.
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
So, what are your feelings going into this game? Are you guys nervous, excited?
So, for me, you could say I'm a little nervous, but I'm also pretty confident. I feel like so far this entire year we kept proving ourselves to these competition. People say we don't play any competition, but if you look at it, we've played 10 opponents with winning records. We've won 9 of those 10. So I think we've had a test. We haven't had a test like Patrick Mahomes, but I still think we put up 31 against the best defense in the NFL in the NFC Championship game. So I think we can hold our own on offense. Defense worries me a little bit, but I think Hassan Reddick going against Andrew Wiley, which I think I saw he allowed 9 sacks so far this season. He's definitely their weak link. So I think Hassan Reddick will be able to manhandle the right tackle. I think the D-line's going to get after Patrick Mahomes. And I think our defense will show up and show out.
I'm going to have to agree with that. I have nothing really to like. Just add to that, I guess, for the most part. But I will say pretty much that I'm excited for our defense just because I know the Chiefs' O-lines can't match the Eagles' pass rushing, or at least I think so personally. But also I'm excited to see the Jason Kelce versus Chris Jones matchup. I really am.
I am too.
I think that's Jason Kelce is obviously on his last legs, I believe. I think whether the Eagles win or lose, I think this is going to be the last season you see Jason Kelce. And good run, and I think a way to go out. Just two future Hall of Famers going at into this Super Bowl, so that's pretty cool. It looks like Patrick Mahomes is also, from reports, is being pretty healthy. He's running around a little bit at practice and still able to carry the offense. I'm assuming he's not going to be 100% by the Super Bowl, but who knows? That could be the same case for Jalen Hurts because I know his shoulder was a little bit banged up, but he's looking a lot better.
I think Jalen Hurts is going to be okay. It's been, what, 5 weeks? Six weeks?
About.
But even if Patrick Mahomes is hurt, he's still going to be okay. I mean, they beat the Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
And he...
Yeah. But the thing I'm worried about is the Bengals, they don't have the same pass rush as the Eagles. So you could make a case where Patrick Mahomes was able to, you know, get the ball out quickly, but there's a difference between the Bengals' pass rush and the Eagles', what, second in NFL history in sacks?
Well, it's second in NFL history, third in football history.
Yeah, so like 70 sacks in a season is unheard of, really. And I think the Eagles' D-line is going to get after Patrick Mahomes. And if he's not fully healthy, then it might be a long day for him. But I think he'll be okay.
One thing I'm interested to see is because it's just like we're all, you know, we've all been waiting for this matchup and we're all super excited for it. But like I know for me, like this game really does come down, I think, just on like which Jalen Hurts are we getting? Because are we getting like a scrambling Hurts? Because like Hurts is the wild card for this game. This is like the only thing I can't predict. I don't know which Jalen Hurts we're going to see. But I'll tell you what, I know he's going to be ready and he's going to be prepared. So I'm just excited for the game.
Actually, Brady, go ahead with your thoughts because I want to talk about all the 40 winers out there.
Oh, we got to talk about that. I've never seen so much salt spilled on a table. But
from 49ers fans?
From the 49ers players.
Okay.
From kicker to head coach in between. But, well, what do you
think? Well, I mean, to give them just a little bit, I feel like that has to be like one of those painful things ever. I'd player just to lose because your quarterback got hurt.
But the thing with that is I think as an athlete, if you lose in a painful way, you should just be like, okay, let me write it down. Let me think about the ways we could do better because they're acting like the O-line was just not there.
That's true for like certain things, but this is like a very different situation, I feel like, where like
this team is a little different, but it's not.
This team
was
obviously incredibly talented in every position except quarterback when it came to that Eagle.
Apparently O-line as well, because they couldn't block anybody to save their lives.
Well, hey, you don't want Joe tweeting at you, the left guard for the, I'm trying to think of his name.
Joe Thomas?
Yeah, you don't want him tweeting at you like he did Michael Thomas. I mean, Michael Parsons, do you?
No, but what's funny is Robbie Gould had if we Eagles defense could be easily exposed, you're a kicker, dude.
Sit on
the sideline and do nothing.
Brandon Ayuk had some like strong words.
Yeah, he said he'd bet all of his money on the Chiefs, which you just got blown out 31-7. Your defense couldn't stop anything.
And then, like, another thing is just, like, you have Christian McCaffrey just saying, I hope both teams loses. And it's just, like, I get it as an athlete. You're always going to say, like, we're the better team because that's just your competitive spirit. But the amount of what – like, when the Eagles got Carson Wentz got knocked out of the playoffs, which actually on a dirty hit.
And Josh McCown had a torn hamstring.
Like exactly. That is something that I understand more than what the 49ers are complaining about.
What?
Because that was a career – because – that was a dirty hit, and Javion Clowney didn't even get penalized
for that. I think with the 49ers, it's been like a lot of buildup, though. Like these past like couple years, I think they've just kind of felt like limited by their quarterback position. Yeah, and that just, I think that like that tension had been growing for a long time. Of like, I can imagine the players are getting kind of sick of like out there and their fourth string quarterback is fumbling the ball from the snap.
Yeah, and I get that. I get the frustration, but just don't say like the defense wasn't good because that defense knocked out both your quarterbacks.
So yeah.
Just like, you know, if you take it on the chin. and then you'll get to the next step, I promise.
Before we go back to the Super Bowl, I do want to talk about what you were saying with the whole Carson Wentz and Josh McCown stuff. Because after we lost...
This was 2019, by the way.
Yeah. There were Eagles fans. There were Eagles fans complaining, oh, man, what would happen if we had our players? Which, for fans, it's cool to do that for maybe a week. 2 weeks, because after that we were like, okay, it's over. But none of the Eagles players were, Seahawks, I don't want you to win because of all this unfortunate situations. It's at some point, just be adult. Stop being a little kid.
That's what I'm saying. That's honestly what I wanted to say, but I'm glad you said it. But that's how I'm feeling, too. But that's just me being an Eagles fan. But all respect to the 49ers players.
Except Ravi Gold, Brandon Ayuk, and, and Nick Bosa for his past comments, but...
I go back to, I think if they hadn't had so much struggle with the quarterback position, I think in the past, like ever since Jimmy G like got sent there, like if they hadn't had so much trouble with the quarterback, I think this has just been growing for so long. I think they're getting sick of it. Like these guys, you want to play with a good quarterback.
What about CMC though? He just got there and he's already chirping.
Well, CMC's been playing with no one for the past.
Yeah.
He's probably just
CMC has had actually had worse quarterbacks.
He's just happy to be there.
Guys.
Jimmy Ward too is another player who also.
Oh, Jimmy Ward too. It's
like there's a lot of I don't know. The only one who's actually taking this like respectfully.
Kind of George Kittle
and Fred Warner.
Oh, and Fred Warner.
Both of them.
Yeah,
because they're not saying anything. Like I know Fred Warner's wife had some stuff to say, but even after that rant she went on, we have not heard a single bad thing about Fred Warner.
Yeah,
about people Philly or anything. So.
So to go back, let's make our predictions.
Prediction
Brady.
I've said it since preseason, said it since week one, said it since, week eight, since the playoffs started. I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm sticking with the Chiefs. Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the league. He just won the MVP. He's honestly been disrespected, I think, the entire playoffs.
Oh, he's been disrespected.
I think he has been disrespected.
He's been disrespected.
He is an all-time great quarterback, and we're coming into the playoffs acting like Joe Burrow and Josh Allen were better than him.
We'll get to the real disrespect.
Nah, I'm just like he's proven himself. It's like if you want to like say Jalen Hurts is being disrespected, Mahomes has proven himself in the playoffs before.
Jalen Hurts hasn't? He hasn't proven himself?
In the playoffs?
Just no, I'm saying in general, he hasn't proven himself.
In the playoffs,
apparently
no.
Chris Sims, he doesn't even rank him as a top quarterback, top 32 quarterback.
Chris Sims
okay,
is wrong.
Okay, well, I'm not saying he's not top 32. I'm saying he hasn't proven himself in the playoffs.
You know what the thing about the Chris Sims thing is? He's just wrong and caught in like a situation, and now he's just getting, and now he doesn't want to look like.
Did he actually say he's not top 32?
And then
well,
like,
yeah. So at the beginning of the year, he had a QB ranking, and Jalen Hurts was nowhere to be found. It was 40 quarterbacks. He was nowhere to be found.
That was before the season. But even like when
still
but
that's
even,
bad.
But even when he went down in the season, he was like Gardner Minshew can lead this team easily.
Yeah.
And you saw what happened.
Oh, like, and then no after the Giants Eagles playoff game,
and he said he still
he said good. I would rather Daniel Jones than Jalen Hurts.
I'm not saying I would rather have Jalen Hurts over Daniel Jones. If that
I think
makes
he's
you feel
just
better.
Playing into at, that because he knows he's. I would hope so because he's.
I would hope so because I mean I know George. Niang, I don't know if y'all saw his tweet, but he came out and tweeted, how can someone like this who threw more career interceptions and touchdowns be talking? So, Philly sports are locked in.
It's a fair say. I just think...
They are. All Philly sports are in the same.
Mahomes has just been under the... I just think he's been under the... The Bengals players were talking the big talk going into that game.
I think,
game. He won the game, and even when they won the game and all those Bengals players had talked so much, he still didn't say anything. Which I think just proves to be that he's locked in
on the Super Bowl.
He is locked in on this Super Bowl, and he knows what his goal is, and he's not getting caught up with the small things. I just think he leads this Chiefs team to a win.
So the thing for me is, I'm actually going to kind of agree with you here. I know it's as much as it pains for me
Wait,
to say this.
What?
I'm picking the Eagles
okay,
to win.
Okay.
But I'm still saying, like, I as much as it saddens me to say, I think Patrick Mahomes is due for another one, but I'm still going to pick the Eagles. I mean,
I'm alone right now, man.
I know. I mean, dude, it's like you're. I'm not. It's hard for me to root against the greats, and I think Patrick Mahomes is that great of a player. Man, as much as I love Jalen Hurts, how is he not winning Offensive Player of the Year or like any of the awards last night? I don't know.
His injury, I feel like, screwed him up with the.
If he doesn't get hurt,
he only missed two games though for Offensive Player of the Year. I understand if he.
I do agree. Justin Jefferson should have won over
for MVP. Missing those games, I think, really hurt.
It did hurt him.
So, like,
I'm not too
MVP.
Upset about that.
And then I think,
and that final game hurt him too.
I said earlier this season, I didn't think Jalen Hurts could win the MVP because this is just his first year being on the scene. So I'm not too surprised.
And
about
just
that.
Like, this is just me. I just feel like the Offensive Player of the Year should go to like a non-quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, just to kind of like give them some love.
Because MVP is all just a quarterback.
MVP is the quarterback. Like, it's the one the quarterbacks win. So giving the Offensive Player of the Year to a wide receiver, running back, or like someone else, I think, is just. Give them the respect.
Mm-hmm. Give them the
they
fire.
Deserve it.
Yeah.
All right. So for my reasoning, I'm going to – because I've been hearing a lot of talk. So I think the Chiefs – I think this is going to be a great game regardless. You know, the Kelce Bowl, Andy Reid, you know, coming back or playing Philly again.
Nick Sirianni going back to Chiefs.
Yeah. But people keep bringing up Marquez Valdes-Scantling as a wide receiver one caliber player because he torched Eli Apple. Are we really looking at Eli Apple? It's Eli Apple. Don't look at Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Don't look at Kadarius Toney. Don't look at Juju Smith-Schuster because they were all outcasted from their former teams because they weren't good enough for the position they needed to play. I feel like the only real weapon they have is Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce, and maybe Jerick McKinnon in the passing game. Other than that, it's like, all the work that gets done is because Patrick Mahomes can throw them the ball.
I'm going to make a hot take here.
I mean, but that's all you kind of need sometimes.
I think I'm going to make a hot take here.
I
think Kadarius Toney is going to be huge in this Super Bowl.
I think he will too. I think he'll be underrated.
I think he's going to open a lot of eyes this Super Bowl.
You can't look at our secondary and our players and be like, oh, yeah, Marcus Valdes-Scantling's going to have a big game.
Oh, yeah. So I wouldn't bet on any of these guys having a great game.
Besides
but
Charles.
I bet one of them puts up 80 yards. Because they have, like those receivers. I said this earlier. Like, they have receivers that you can kind of just like plug in to have a good game here and there because they're all kind of at a similar caliber. So they're all like, so one of them is going to get harder matchups and some of them is going to get easier matchups, but they're all at the same level. So that means that they'll be kind of be able to use the better matchups.
I kind of see this Super Bowl matchup as kind of similar versus the Eagles when they went up there against the Patriots.
The first time or the second time?
The second time.
Okay.
The one when we got that ring.
But, the one when we were like alive and watched it.
But
technically, I was alive for that first one.
Yeah, I was too. But I was going to say, like the Patriots, I think, they're the more talented team. That's why the Eagles were the underdogs. But the Eagles had the better depth. And that's how I feel going
the Patriots had Tom Brady. I think that's what it was.
I think that
was Tom Brady versus Nick Foles. And everyone was like, Tom Brady does not lose to Nick Foles.
It was Tom Brady and Rob and like the vets of Edelman. It's like all that. That's why I say more talented. Because like when you look at our side, we had like our. What was it like?
I think we had a lot more talented team than the Patriots, but they had bigger names.
I mean, that's why I say the depth point, because I think we had a lot of depth. Like, with Jay Ajayi was a huge trade. Like, LeGarrette Blount was huge for us that game. But those aren't, those aren't, like, the typical talented names that you hear. But that's what goes to my depth point.
I guess. I mean, more like that. I feel like we had a better O-line. We had a better D-line. We had better safeties. We had better running backs. We had better wide receivers. The only thing they had better was corners, I think, because it was Stephon Gilmore, quarterback, and tight end.
And then I also think they had a better running game because White wasn't that
bad. We had the best running game in the league. LeGarrette Blount.
I know. But I said I'm also just saying the way that they used that. Short.
I guess.
But
to go on about this is my last take until I give my my prediction. But
I see it.
Let me read this out for you. The Chiefs run press coverage at the highest rate in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
AJ Brown had the highest yards per route run against press coverage in NFL history this season. That's according to Brendan Deeg or whatever. So I think our offense we can do whatever. We can run the ball. We have the best running game in the NFL. We can clearly pass the ball. I'm saying it's going to be a close game. Eagles win. And I'm confident.
You're confident.
Knock on wood. I'm confident. I'm not saying we're going to win. I just have a feeling that we are. Knock on wood.
I said Chiefs win by at least 7.
I say Eagles win by at least 3.
I would go.
You want me to give you all a score? I'll give you 32-28.
32-28?
I think it's going to be around that number. Like yeah. One team in the 30s, one team in the 20s.
Actually, I think both teams are in the 30s.
It's going to – I feel like – because like I'm saying, I'm thinking this is going to be like the Patriots-Eagles. Like, I think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be hard
I don't think the Eagles are going to let this game get that far out of hand. Because really, the Chiefs, they only stand a chance really with like – if it's kind of a shootout. Like, if they're shooting. So I think the Eagles – likely are going to try to slow the game down.
Yeah.
More than people expect. Like, people are talking about, like, A.J. Brown. Like, you're talking about A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, all, like, Jalen Hurts. But I think it's the run game that's going to win this game, keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. Oh.
The run game's definitely going to win the game. But I'm saying if we're looking for a big player, like a nice little slant that's going to get some yards, I think that
would be... I'm just saying in general. I feel like a lot of people have been talking about, like, the difference in receivers and stuff. But, like, the Eagles are just, like, they run the ball. And they run the ball well.
Actually, yeah. The best.
So
we
come
got
on, Miles Sanders. Make your last game count.
We got Brady with the Chiefs. We got and me and Jalen with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Go Birds!
All right, we got quite a game. Up next, we will be talking about the NBA trade deadline. All the trades that went down in the past yesterday. And so we'll go over all the trades after this quick break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. This is 9.7, the student section. I'm Brady. I'm here with Connor and Jalen. And it's time to talk about the NBA trade deadline that went down yesterday.
We thought last week was crazy. Oh,
I know.
My God.
It was... It all just happened at once, it felt like.
Really, for real, honestly. But I'll tell you what, this is NBA history. I think it's one of the craziest NBA trade deadlines we've ever seen. And I think this has got – it has to be a record-setting of number of second-round picks that were traded.
Oh, I feel like everyone was just throwing
I felt like Oprah. You get a second-round pick. You get a second-round pick.
I think it's like $1 bills at a club. But it's like everyone just like throwing it around. It's like, hey, you can have it.
I don't understand where this demand came from either, though, because it felt like second round picks like weren't being traded, and then all of a sudden they were.
It's, hey, you get 5.
You know what it felt like to me?
What are you gonna do with 5 second round picks?
You know what it felt like to me? This is literally what I do when I play 2K and I'm building my team, and I'm just like, I want this player. Just give them all the second round picks I have. And I guess that's what happened.
The next 10 years of second round picks for Kevin Durant.
Yes.
In 2K.
Deal.
And then
speaking of the biggest trade news, like you just said, Kevin Durant to the Suns. I just kind of want to react to that. And what is your guys' opinion on that?
So I think we all have mixed opinions here, but I think the ceiling is extremely high for this team,
yep,
and the floor is extremely low. But I think them winning the championship is more likely than them crashing and burning, in my opinion.
Ready?
I don't think they crash and burn. I think they gambled a lot.
They gambled a lot.
Chris Paul has not been great, and I wouldn't expect him to all of a sudden flip a switch and be great come playoff
time. But that's why you bring in Kevin Durant.
And that's why you bring Kevin Durant, but I'm saying, like, the guards in their backcourt, it's what?
It's not great.
It's Chris Paul, Cam Payne.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like,
Landry Shamet may
Carter
come
probably
in.
Don't disrespect Landry Shamet. Sixers legend for half a season.
I will disrespect him a little bit. If I was trying to make a run to the NBA Finals, I would not want him playing rotational minutes.
Why not?
He's okay for like
he can shoot.
He can't play defense. Yeah, he can't really handle the ball too well.
He's just
he can shoot all right.
He's like your Marco Bellinelli. Like you're like
Marco Bellinelli was tough.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But like you didn't run so much stuff from him. I do see that. But
I don't trust the guards, and I feel like teams, you need to have reliable guards.
And like we talked about this a little bit before the show, but I know everyone thinks that the Suns are like the favorites, but I don't see it. I really don't. I'm going to be completely honest here.
I think you're crazy because you don't see it.
But that's
you don't
the
have
thing.
The vision.
Let me tell you why I'm not seeing it. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, two great names, two great superstars. Yes, they can score the ball at will whenever. I'm not arguing that. And I think
sounds like you are arguing
when come playoff time. Like, they're going to get their buckets, and I don't think anyone can guard them. But you're telling me about the other pieces? You mean 37-year-old Chris Paul, who hasn't stayed healthy for, the last four playoffs.
You know what his nickname is? Point God.
Yeah,
I'm not
worried. It doesn't matter. If you're
37 years old. You know when he got that nickname? 15 years ago.
Exactly. He's about done. 37 years old. He's about done. And then you got... they also received T.J. Warren in that trade, but T.J. Warren's still coming back from an injury. He probably
hasn't stayed healthy in 3 years.
Exactly.
He's still been a bucket.
There's a reason he's on like a minimum size deal because people don't know if he can stay healthy.
That's the answer.
You have Torrey Craig starting at power forward. I doubt that's going to be good for you in starting the playoffs. I don't believe that, especially when you face some of these tougher teams like a Memphis Grizzlies. Like I don't
consider Memphis Grizzlies tough.
No, if Jaren Jackson's going to be, I like the Jaren Jackson Memphis matchup over Torrey Craig. Bold to say, but
wouldn't you think Jaren Jackson would be on Kevin Durant?
I don't know. It depends because they have. I think there's a lot of versatility on Memphis Grizzlies, so I don't really know what their plan is.
But you see what we're talking about. Pick your poison. Wait. Four of the five can get their own bucket with ease.
Two
of the five.
Devin Booker.
Chris Paul.
Kevin Durant. DeAndre Ayton.
Ayton ain't getting his own buckets.
No, that's where we're going to be.
Get him in the post?
Hang on. Let me
finish. They're not going to run their offense through.
They're not going to run his offense, but it's play whoever offense, basically.
Let me finish making the point. My mother last point was just saying you have your last spot, you have DeAndre Ayton, who's been known. They've been having a lot of issues with the coaching staff. I don't trust that going into the playoffs. You have no bench. You gave up. They had one of the best depth. That's the things about the Phoenix Suns. Not only were they talented, but they had the best depth over the last couple of years in the NBA. But you give up Mikal Bridges, which is a huge loss. Cameron Johnson's also a huge loss. Jay Crowder, we all know about that Jerry Crowder situation. That's a huge pickup for the Bucks. That's like when P.J. Tucker came over. It's a small move with a veteran presence and someone who has a little bit of playoff experience. And then you trade four first-round picks. Which is not that big of a deal because you're competing now, but it's going to be hard for you to pivot, I think, when it comes to this offseason. And especially, I think they're going to have to move DeAndre Ayton. I think the only thing that keeps DeAndre Ayton is Kevin Durant can convince them, and unless they can contend now. But I don't like this team. I don't think they're getting out of the Western Conference Finals. I don't even think they're going to go to the Western Conference Finals. So, we'll see.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this trade definitely puts a lot more pressure on their timeline because the window was already semi-closing because of Chris Paul's health.
Yeah.
And then to bring Kevin Durant, I think it's gambling a lot.
Your two best players are 34 and then 37, and then you have your young buck who's 26? 25?
Well, I mean, Booker's the second best player.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying three stars.
Don't say maybe like that. Like, Devin Booker is the second best player. I mean, the second best player.
Yeah, he's definitely the second best player.
He is the second best player, and that is a definitive fact.
Okay.
There's no debating that Chris Paul
is
better.
I still think it's Devin Booker's team, too, but that's a whole other discussion we can have, but...
So for me, what you were saying with DeAndre Ayton, he's had a tough time. I think Jay Crowder has probably been one of the biggest reasons why that team has not had great success. It's because of that locker room presence.
But this goes back to last year.
He hasn't been in the locker room.
But that's what I'm saying. This goes back to last year.
It's cancerous locker room because of Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder doesn't want to be there, so he's just not, hey, whatever. It's like the Ben Simmons situation. How he doesn't want to be a part of the
team.
It's
different though because Jay Crowder's not a starter.
And then. Ben Simmons was kind of forced to show up, and then that was kind of a weird situation all along.
Because Simmons showed the training camp.
They're telling Jay Crowder to stay home, while they figure something out. And I don't think that's the same.
I just think that whole thing looming over the franchise is not good for anybody, really. I think it's.
I just don't really see.
I think the DeAndre Ayton thing, honestly, is more toxic than the Jay Crowder thing. I don't think anyone cares about that.
Because there's something deeper than just the Jay Crowder between Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, and. Their number one pick, DeAndre Ayton, their former number one pick. I think at some point they're going to have to make a trade and move on from DeAndre Ayton. I don't think you can recover from that.
I think some point, yeah, but
they
I think
for, oh, the, they don't. I'm sorry. They
oh no, you're good. I was saying this year, I think he'll be good enough for this year. I'm sorry, but I see it working.
The thing is, winning does kind of cure everything.
Yeah,
you know,
to a degree.
I feel like a lot of the problems
to a degree though.
They're the ninth seed right now.
Not really. It feels like
Kyrie Irving. They won.
But Kyrie's been anyway.
That was a contract. That was a contract dispute, though. That wasn't like a coach player.
Isn't that kind of what they went? That's what kind of what happened with DeAndre Ayton.
But Ayton got his contract. Before, but now Ayton has his money.
But so now they were losing. They were the ninth seed before they made the trade. But like what we were saying is, who do you think is going to stop him? The only team that I can see put him a fight is the Nuggets.
Nuggets,
Grizzlies.
Grizzlies for sure aren't doing anything.
Mavericks can give them Mavericks, money.
Mavericks maybe. I need to see what Kyrie looks like with Luka.
Pelicans full strength. I know they've been maybe really bad Pelicans, this last
that's
month.
That's my big team.
If they
big,
can get everyone healthy which is a big
but
if.
That's the same
it's
thing
a big
you get with the Suns. No, you can't get them healthy, but Zion can't stay on the court. Or Brandon Ingram.
I mean, I don't...
So I'm saying you I can't think, pick and choose between the Suns and the Pelicans.
I don't the thing. There's a difference history between Chris Paul's injury history and like Brandon Ingram's history.
What?
Like
we're talking about health for the Suns. I am strictly talking about Chris Paul.
Okay, so you're just talking about. I think that's another big thing you got to talk about. Kevin Durant is also injury prone. Like now, a couple less. He's 34. He's been out for like a month and a half now. If he goes down, if Kevin Durant goes down, that team's done. We all agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like you're literally just hoping Kevin Durant can win you the chip. That's literally what's going on here.
But the thing
you're
I'm saying
he's the factor.
Thing I'm saying is you can't look at the Suns and be like, oh man, they have an injury history, so I think the Pelicans fully healthy can beat them. The Pelicans have a more injured roster than the Suns.
I believe in the Pelicans' depth more than I believe in the Suns' depth, whether it's healthy or not. Like that Pelicans team is like has a lot of underrated players from like Jose Alvarado, from Herb Jones to Trey Murphy.
Yes, they're underrated, but I just don't see it making a huge difference.
I think they're better role players than what the Suns have.
I think they're better role players, but I think the Suns have better stars, which can even it out.
I think for the playoffs, it's not for the playoffs. You need stars to win.
Of course,
but it's not just stars. Like stars don't win you at all. It's role players.
But I agree with that. But when we look at stars, you think of one or two stars. They have four players that you can stagger minutes.
Not four stars.
Four great players. They even stagger minutes.
Ooh. I wouldn't even say four great players.
It's Ayton.
I would not put Ayton in the great
I love here. Ayton as a center.
I wouldn't put Chris Paul in the
Ayton
great
Ayton is a top five center in the league.
No.
Yes.
Well,
yeah, no, yes, he
on,
is.
Hang on,
Ayton
hang on.
Is
I'm
a
not,
top five center in the league.
Well, let's name your other centers first.
So I got, of
this
course,
is a great discussion.
Joel Embiid, number one.
Okay, obviously.
Nikola Jokic, number two.
Yeah.
You could argue, I would say, probably Cat, number three.
Yeah, okay. Are we counting AD as a center?
Because
that's probably four.
I don't really think so. I don't think it's a center. I think he's more of a power forward.
I think he's playing. He's listed as center right now, but if you want to count him as power forward, that's understandable. But I personally am counting him as a center.
I think Ayton's up there.
I'm taking Bam over him.
Are you taking... What about
Bam? Bam is soft.
What about Rudy Gobert? Are you taking Rudy Gobert over
him? No, I'm not taking Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is...
I think he
despises game.
I think you have to. I've kind of realized I have a new respect for Rudy Gobert because you have to use him a certain way.
I think
it's.
But at that point,
I'm trying to think. If I was the Suns, I would rather have Rudy Gobert than Ayton because does Ayton do better than Gobert?
Offensively, he's
scoring
10 times
better. It's just scoring.
You don't need scores.
It's just scoring.
Your point, though.
He's a great rebounder as well. Don't get it.
Rudy Gobert is a bad rebounder.
And you led the league in rebounding, like what for like. I think like
Rudy's a better rebounder.
Yeah, that's true.
He's averaging 11.5 boards this season.
I just
Ayton's at 10.
I don't
Rudy's
think,
a better rebounder.
Ayton has to show me more. For number one pick, he's been disappointing. I think we can all agree on that.
He has been a little disappointing, but you can't say he's not a top five center.
I just
you
think,
can.
What about
you? Can we just named.
You just wanted to put Vukic in the All Star game.
Vucevic
in the All Star game.
So we just named Embiid, Jokic.
I'm personally putting Anthony Davis on that.
Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. So that's five.
You can put Bam
I'm
on
not
there.
Five. I'm putting Bam above him. I am putting Bam above him with like not even like a second thought.
Bam for
not even like I'm not even thinking twice. I'm putting Bam in like above him. There's no world where the Suns call the Heat and say we'll give you Ayton for Bam, and like the Heat don't immediately hang up the phone. There's no world where the Heat like even like talks to them for more than a
there
second.
Is definitely
no
yes,
there's I, that's not even like a conversation.
I would negotiate that deal.
There's like you don't even talk to them about it. You laugh at them.
And
like you laugh
year,
at
when
them
when Victor Wembanyama comes into league
who I'm sorry. Say that again. Who?
Victor. I said it real fast, hoping y'all didn't notice.
Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama.
Just say Wemby.
So, but when Victor W comes in the league,
Victor Wembanyama,
he's gonna be. He's probably. I'm gonna move Ayton down to seventh.
You can't say that though.
I'm literally just. You know. I'm trolling right.
Okay. That's how
I view DeAndre Ayton though.
All right. So let's move on to the next trade. So I feel like we're spending way too much time on this. How do you think the Lakers did this deadline? Because I think they had a great, great deadline.
I always say this. I always say, Rob Pelinka, you are an interesting human being. I'll just start with that. You always.
I'm not going to give credit to Rob.
No, well, here's
this
the thing.
This is the GM.
No, like, here, this is the thing. Rob.
The GM negotiated.
We've seen this multiple times again that Rob Pelinka is just doing a terrible job. But then somehow, like, whether it be like late in the season. It always seems like he's making a couple moves that just try to clean up this team. And, like, usually in the past, it hasn't been the best. We saw the Westbrook thing. That hasn't been the best. But he really cleaned up this deadline. This is the best job I think he's done. I think I don't count the Anthony Davis because that's pretty much a given. I just think LeBron did that. Clutch did that. But this is the best job I think he's ever done for the Lakers organization. The Lakers got Rui Hachimura. And got 3 seconds for
Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah, for Kendrick Nunn, 3 second round pick.
And Kendrick Nunn was awful for them.
Yeah, and like that was basically nothing. The Lakers got Mo Bamba.
For Patrick Beverley.
Got rid of Patrick
Beverley. But Pat Bev's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, he's probably going to go back to Minnesota. I think so. He really loves Minnesota.
Can he do that?
Yeah, I mean, he's a buyout.
Because didn't he get traded? Oh, wait. He got bought out by
He can sign anywhere.
Yeah. I thought he couldn't sign with the team that traded him the year before, but I think he got bought out.
Yeah, I think, plus, I don't know if you noticed, when D'Angelo Russell, the next trade for the Lakers, got traded to the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
He traded a picture with D'Angelo Russell. He was like, my boy's back. And then, unfortunately, he got
I'm so happy that D'Angelo Russell got out of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, he really hates Rudy Gobert.
I am so happy D'Angelo Russell got.
Anthony
I think
likes him apparently now.
I think that spot was like super toxic for him. I thought the last like month and a half, 2 months, he's been playing like really, really good basketball.
This is the most efficient year, if I'm not mistaken.
He's shooting the ball super well. I think he's a great playmaker. He plays with a slower pace, but the way he plays makes me feel comfortable with him in the ball.
It's like herky jerky, like you know.
It's a little bit like Shea, where they kind of like go up and down.
He's one of my favorite players to watch. His bag is really deep.
Also, the celebration size in my veins is still one of my all-time favorite celebrations. I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, for sure. I love his celebration.
And then I bring in Malik Beasley. I think too. Beasley is a great player to put next to LeBron.
They're gonna have to do something about Scottie Pippen Jr. though on that team. It's a rookie. If anyone
knows. It's such a tough situation.
Yeah, but we don't have to get into it.
They weren't just like, hey, let's just put these names together.
I feel like they didn't really think about that.
So honestly, if you're thinking about
you can't
the G League
players'
feelings,
about the G League
it's
player,
like
yeah. you can't be thinking about the G League.
That's your problem.
But like,
this is a rookie though, so I think he's a project. He's a project, but
it's got to be just like a little awkward.
But yeah, but I mean, I'm sure they'll figure something out as they do.
All right, we will take a quick break and we'll go back to talking about the rest of the trades that went down yesterday. This is 90.7 The Capstone, the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This is 90.7 The Capstone, the student section. My name is Brady. I'm here with Connor and Jalen. And we're here to talk about more of the NBA trade deadline. So, did you guys have any moves specifically that you guys were keyed in on from these last couple days?
There are a couple. I think some of my favorite. Call me crazy, but Mason Plumlee going to the Clippers.
I will call you crazy.
I think Mason Plumlee is a really good, like, skilled big man with, like, I don't think shooting, of course not shooting, because we don't know if he's right-handed or left-handed, but
he doesn't know either.
Being able to create team shots, I think, because we saw with the Hornets, he was able to get people open, he was able to do a bunch of stuff that was really, a lot of other big men don't really do, but I like that a lot. But I think the trade that I love the most, call me biased or whatever, I love Matisse Thybulle, but his offense was nowhere to be found, really. I know I said
– I love Thybulle too.
I remember I at the beginning of the year, I said defensive player of the year and most improved.
Yeah.
I was wrong. He can't get his offense down.
He's 27 now, right?
I think
that old?
Yeah, he's about that
I
time.
Think Jalen McDaniels is a lot better offensively. I think his defense is not as – it's definitely not as good as Matisse Thybulle, but it's definitely
it's
up there.
It's not all NBA worth, but it's close.
Yeah, it's very close. So I think that's a very good, very underrated move for the Sixers. I love that move.
I didn't understand why the Blazers like basically wanted to trade like Josh Hart for Matisse Thybulle, like in the rotation.
See, Portland's scheme is all about defense. Like, if you look at all their players, it's mostly like catered towards defensive players. That's why they like.
I love how their whole scheme is catered toward defensive players, but they don't have a single defensive player besides Jeremy Grant.
That's pretty much what they're trying to work on. Because that's like, if you listen to Coach Billups in the offseason, he said one of the things that he's going to really try to improve in this group is like their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's why they try to sign Gary Payton, like names like that as well. And they try to keep working on like,
Nasir Little.
Yeah. So it's like players like those, but like, that's why Cam Reddish, to your point, is huge. I think that's going to be huge.
I think Cam Reddish is a really good
pick. That's a nothing trade.
But I think.
It's a nothing trade.
It's honestly blasphemous that you think it's nothing, but
it's not blasphemous.
They need more 3-and-D wings, and like that's what they're hoping. I don't know if they can.
Reddish is not a 3-and-D wing.
I know, but they're hoping.
I don't know.
They're hoping that.
Finish in the meme, Brady.
That's what they're hoping to get out of him. Like same with Matisse Thybulle. They're still hoping that there's, because they love their defense, obviously, mm-hmm. but they're hoping they can get a little bit of offensive things out of him. But going back to your Clippers point, just real quick, I just want to say, I think they were huge with getting Mason Plumlee. Hornets, I have no idea what that franchise is doing, but I'm assuming Mason Plumlee was the best thing going for their season, which is kind of funny to say. So I think they're just like literally tanking for Vic W. Clippers getting Bones Highland, I think that was also a really big trade. I think that really has more to do for the Nuggets, though, because there's been a lot of stories coming out of the Denver locker room that Bones Highland and Jamal Murray, ever since he's been coming back from his ACL injury, do not like each other, or at least his friend groups, at least their acquaintances.
Because there's
been a lot of back and forth on Twitter, just a lot of stuff causing, like, I think just making the locker room all weird. And that's why I think the very next day after all that stuff happened, you saw Jamal Murray drop like almost 50. So I think that's important to kind of take a notice of. So I think that's why they did that trade. And, I mean, you get 2 second-round picks out of it. But like I said, I think those are the two ones I'm surprised of. But just going back to the Portland thing, I think they'll make those trades work. Yeah. I think last thing, Brady. Well, you don't like Cam Reddish.
Oh, I don't like. He's fallen out of the rotation on two teams now.
It's not his fault.
Thibodeau, I don't blame Thibodeau. That's just how Thibodeau is. It's so hard to crack minutes on Thibodeau's team.
You got to be a hustle player. You got to like go out there, work hard, play hard defense. And Reddish was not that, and he was a ball stopper on offense.
I think that's why though. I feel like he's not bought into. He wasn't bought into that system.
He didn't buy in.
Yeah, I don't.
Well,
think
you can't
so.
Blame Tibbs for him not buying in. That's on him.
Thibodeau is such a weird coach where
yeah.
you can't get mad at someone for not fitting his thing if he requires people who, like, I feel like half the league who are all stars would not fit in that rotation.
That's just
that rotation is hard.
I think you're just kind of like over.
And plus his rotation,
exaggerating a little bit to how intense he is.
A lot of people. I this is my opinion, and I know a lot of people don't agree with this, but I think Tom Thibodeau has ended some careers early because he screwed up
a
lot of people.
Derrick Rose's whole career.
No, I know. He definitely
Luol Deng, Joakim Noah. You can just keep going on.
He pushes his guys too hard and he plays them too many minutes.
Jimmy Butler led the league in minutes for like what 3 years in a row under Thibodeau, or like 2 years. I'll fact check
that. To the point where it's, if you're not a young player, you're not going to see the floor.
And Reddish, these young guys, they don't want to play. And these young guys, they don't want to play defense, though.
You got to be already, like, established in this league for him to get minutes.
Dude, he's starting Quentin Grimes. Jericho Sims is playing a bunch of minutes. Emmanuel Quickley is coming off the bench. These are young guys, too.
Those are homegrown.
That's what I'm saying. Those are all defensive players, too. Like, Quentin Grimes was known for playing defense. Like,
Quentin Grimes is a 3-and-D player.
That's what I'm saying. The guy from West Virginia, McBride, right, Daniel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a defensive player. Like, Cam Reddish is not Cam Reddish is a scorer. Great defender. Cam Reddish is a scorer first.
Cam Reddish likes to have the ball in his hand, and he likes to go score.
And that's you can't do that in Tom Thibodeau's
system. And teams don't, and like the Hawks didn't like it either. Dame's not going to just give Cam Reddish depth.
Yeah, the Hawks have too much depth. They didn't know what was going on. Plus, Trae Young. There's a reason John Collins wants to be out of.
There's something wrong with that whole top.
John Collins doesn't want to get out of Atlanta. Atlanta wants John Collins out of Atlanta.
I think it's both.
I think if John Collins wanted out of Atlanta, he would have demanded a trade. The fact that he's been in rumors for like 3 years and he hasn't demanded one.
I think John Collins wants out, but he's not going to give up the money, so he's not going to like.
But he already signed a contract.
He already signed his contract.
It doesn't matter. He can't give up the money.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think he wants out, but I think the team wants him gone.
The team wants him gone.
I think he wants.
He would have demanded because he's been in rumors so much that if he demanded a trade, I guarantee they could find one.
What, 5 or 4 years?
Yeah. It's been back to back.
I think his contract is exactly like Tobias, and it's just really hard to move without losing a lot.
He's only getting like $20 million a year.
His contract is fat.
Yeah, it's still like not one of the best contracts. Like I think him, Tobias, and I think Ben Simmons have probably one of the worst contracts in the NBA. But that's my opinion. Mm-hmm.
The Sixers gave two of those contracts out.
I don't think I'd give it for
Mike D'Antoni helping the Elton Brand.
But yeah, I just think John Collins has posted a lot about Trae Young, behind the scenes a lot, and I just think he's had enough. I think they both need a new start. I think John Collins should be. I don't know why he's still there, but that's my personal opinion. But another two moves I wanted to shout out was Josh Hart to the Knicks. I think that's a huge pickup and steal for the Knicks.
Yeah, I think it is too.
I think that's perfect for Thibodeau's system. And I think Danny Green going to the Houston Rockets because the Rockets need a veteran. Because I don't know. Something's going on with Memphis and Houston, but please let's get some vets over in these teams because these young players, but it's hard to watch.
It's funny because let's get some vets in Memphis. Danny Green's coming from Memphis.
I know, but I think it's because he was recovering for his ACL, so he wasn't around much.
He's still going to be recovering for his ACL.
Yeah, but at least like your younger player, like, you know, the Rockets have further to go than
and they
the
had
Grizzlies.
Eric Gordon, so they already had veterans.
I feel like Eric Gordon is not.
I feel like Eric Gordon was so checked out.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like Eric Gordon's not going to say much.
The Grizzlies were just picking between Danny Green and Luke Kennard. It was like, which one would you rather have? And Luke Kennard's playing and healthy and probably a better shooter. So I think they just kind of made that choice. I think one trade that people, after like the KD trade happened, people kind of like just stopped talking about was the Kyrie Irving to the Mavericks. Like after KD, I feel like everyone just stopped talking about Kyrie getting moved to the Mavs. But I think that trade has so much potential. And this is the thing with Kyrie Irving, whenever he goes anywhere, there's so much potential for what could happen. I think if he's playing and Luka is playing, then that is one of like the top three teams in the West, I would say.
With that being said.
But I don't trust him to play. I would bet on Kyrie finding a way to mess it up, which is like kind of sad to say because I want to see it work.
I think this is going to be Kyrie's best year.
I think Kyrie's on a mission right now.
I think so.
But the thing that worries me, it's not that he won't play. It's that Luka needs a ball in his hands.
And they can't figure it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. That's what I think is going to happen.
But like,
when we talked
about this last week, that's one of the reasons I was super excited to see Kyrie go to Mavericks. Because I think like there is an interesting perspective of them linking together and having like a LeBron and Kyrie kind of switch off.
I would hate this trade if it wasn't a contract year for Kyrie, I think. Because the fact that it is a contract year means that like there's incentive for him to he has something to play for himself, like instead of just like relying on him wanting to play for the team, he has personal reasons to play and personal motives. So I think that he will play out the season because I think he's talking about the contract a lot and I think the contract is important to him.
Do you think there's any chance he resigns at the Mavs?
Yes,
I think there is a chance.
If him and Luka, like, if he finds that beautiful basketball harmony Dallas,
that's hard to do, though.
I know, but everything's hard to do with Kyrie. But I'm sure they'll.
I think he's incredibly unpredictable. I would, if he was like stay with the Mavs, I would see that happening. But
this happened to your franchise, Kyrie Irving coming to your team. He said he's going to resign. So what are your thoughts as a Celtics fan?
As a Celtics fan, I have a lot of not so great opinions of Kyrie, mainly because he did quit in the playoffs against the Bucks. You can't tell me otherwise. We won game one and then he sabotaged 4 straight games. It's just what happened. I think
he just knew y'all weren't gonna win, that's why he quit.
We won game one. Yeah. We won game one and then he like went out and shot 20% for the rest of the series. But I think the contract year is big. I really think the contract year is big because of how much Kyrie has talked about this contract and how important it's been, and that's the reason he left the Nets because they wouldn't give him the contract. So I think he has motivation, personal motivation to play. So I think it'll work for the Mavs this year. And to go like with Kyrie playing next, Kyrie's played next to LeBron and KD. Like I think Kyrie,
I'm not worried about
he knows
Kyrie.
How to play next to great guys.
I'm not worried about Kyrie learning how to play. I'm worried about Luka how to play. Okay.
That makes sense, and I understand that point. But
I'm not worried about that.
I think two great.
I mean,
there's gonna be adjustment period for sure.
That first game of Kyrie playing, he looked beautiful. Luka wasn't playing, but
that's the thing.
He's getting reps with like the other guys. He's getting reps with other guys.
That's
and then
why they're still sitting
and
him
then
out.
Men.
Because he could be playing tonight, but they're gonna rest him just because they're trying to build something.
Like I said. I'm not worried about Kyrie matching with the team. I think Kyrie's already done that. Well, not already done that, but I think he can do that, I won't say quite easily, but he's done it before so many times.
Kyrie is going to play tonight, just so you know, against the Kings.
No, I meant Luka. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Luka.
But it's like, think about it. Kyrie's played with multiple stars. I don't have a problem with Kyrie playing with Luka Doncic. I have a problem with Luka Doncic playing with Kyrie. Because Luka Doncic, you look at his entire career, he's always had the ball in his hand. It's always, he makes a move, he does a little thing, and then he makes a crazy pass, kick out. So that's what I'm saying. Him playing with another star, I don't know how that's going to work, because that means he has to move off ball and stuff like that.
I feel like this happens for every NBA career, though. At some point, every NBA career, when you're starting to contend, you have to learn how to change your way to play, because usually there's someone else that comes along, or it's a teammate that you guys are really starting to start figuring things out. But I always feel like, just like we saw with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they figured it out. And I think with two talented superstars like Kyrie and Luka, they'll figure it out. And plus, you have Jason Kidd, who's like really like just like, I mean, he's Kyrie Irving's favorite player all time because he's growing up a Nets fan. And I just think if anyone can explain like the point guard position, like help them figure out where to go, it's Jason Kidd. But also, I'm not as high sold on the Mavs just purely because you're starting Dwight Powell in the playoffs. I think
they made it to the Western Conference Finals.
I know Dwight Powell is. He's good. I think you're underrating him.
I'm not saying like I don't think. I don't know. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's terrible. I just don't know how far you can go with Dwight Powell as your starter.
You know how great the Mavs would be if they had DeAndre Ayton.
Not so great.
They would be amazing because they had a top five center in the league.
I don't think so because I think Dwight Powell's actually ability to stretch the floor a little bit is what makes
Ayton
so good.
Can low-key stretch the floor. It's not crazy, but I think...
Plus, I still don't think Ayton, going back to this conversation, I just don't think he knows what his role is. I really don't. I don't think...
I mean, that's... I think like my like biggest pet peeve is when a center doesn't know his job.
Yeah.
And like, I think in most NBA offenses, your center should not be creating their shot. It's just not an efficient shot. Like most of the time, the center, you should be like moving the ball a lot to find, because if your center is getting the ball, it should be, I think, in like a lob or like a layup dunk. Because it's like right there.
Unless they're just a pure post threat like Joel like, or something.
Of course. Let me like put that in there. Unless you're a superstar center, I want my center to be moving the ball and then just trying to find the open shot. I don't want a mid-tier center taking like contested shots.
Speaking of centers, just real quick before we start to wrap things up though, what do you all think about the Pistons receiving James Wiseman? So apparently it's a 14 trade, right?
So far it might not happen.
Exactly. So with this trade, as of right now, it's the Pistons receive James Wiseman, Hawks receive Sadiq Bey from the Pistons, and the Warriors receive Kevin Knox and 5 second round picks, but the Warriors also get Gary Payton, right? From that deal,
yeah.
They were using assets, I think, from that trade into the Gary Payton trade. So that's why the Gary Payton trade is connected to this trade.
Okay, yeah. So the Warriors would get Gary Payton from the Trailblazers. He would get Kevin Knox and 5 second round picks. So they kind of flip Kevin Knox and those second round picks. But that being said, that might not happen. Like, we were talking about this last week. We all kind of expected Wiseman to get traded because we just felt like he didn't meet the Warriors' timeline. And now that we're seeing that Gary Payton has been playing through, like, a torn core or something, like, and the Blazers knew about it, but they didn't tell the Warriors on the phone that they knew about this, and, like, he's been playing. So that deal might not happen, but do you like the deal for both teams?
I don't have any strong feelings.
It's honestly, I don't really see anything.
For the most part, though, I think it will be good for Wiseman in the long run. But we'll talk about that more next time.
All right, we do have to wrap it up for tonight. This has been 90.7, the Student Section. I hope everyone has a great night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.